Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good to see you on this Lord's Day and this special day. You've heard it already said, we're going to baptize some people. I always look forward to this day. It's really, really special. I am hoping it's warmer down there than it is in here, because I'm about froze to death in here. Is it warmer outside? Good. Good. You know, there's a lot of stories in Acts about people being baptized, how they come to be baptized, why, when. And I've referred to a lot of those stories over the years. But as I prepared for this baptism, I want to mention baptism, but I'm not going to refer to Acts. I'm going to ask you to turn to John chapter 5. If you've got your Bibles, the words will be on the big screen. But I want to turn to John chapter 5, and I'll explain why in a minute. If you've spent any time in the Word, you know John chapter 5. You know what it says. And if you haven't, I'm going to read some of it for us today. As a matter of fact, I was looking at some of my notes, and I referred to this same set of verses 2 years ago, but it wasn't on a baptism Sunday. And so I'm going to read these verses, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to see how we can blend them all together with our baptism service today. John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In other words, when you come into Jerusalem, in this part of Jerusalem, you come into this in through this particular gate, and called the Sheep Gate, you're going to go right beside this large pool. And you, as you look at diagrams from biblical archaeological things, it was probably two pools, really, put together as one. But there was this large pool just inside the Sheep Gate. And it had some protective coverings around it. We call them colonnades, or in New King James, calls them porches. And within this area, the Bible says, in these, that's the protective area of the, around the pool, a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Some Bibles don't even have the next verse in it because of different manuscripts. And so some might argue, well, that was added, and that ain't even real. But when you read the whole story, you know that these people were here for something. Something happened here in the past that inclined these sick folks, blind, paralyzed, lame, all of these folks, to wait right there, hoping for something supernatural to happen. Here's what verse 4 says, New King James. I'll read 3 again, then go to 4. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. That's why they were there. A multitude of sick folks, lame folks, paralyzed folks, blind folks. They were waiting for this supernatural happening. Apparently it happened before, because they knew in their mind, when someone got into the water first, I'm going to be well because it happened last time. So there they were, dozens of them. Verse 5 says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Jesus has come in through the sheep gate, remember? Come into Jerusalem. He's passing by this pool called Bethesda, and he sees this multitude of sick folks, and he encounters one. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. In other words, I don't have much chance of getting well because there's a whole bunch of folks here, and apparently this stirring of the water don't happen all that often, and perhaps there's even some people between the pool and this guy, and so all he had to offer for Jesus at the time was excuses. Well, I'm pretty sure I'm never going to be made well, because even if the water stirs, somebody's going to beat me in it. And Jesus simply said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. The Bible says, and immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And the Bible says, and that day was the Sabbath. So, as the story unfolds, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it's a Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, that's the sick man that's made well. He answered them, that's Jesus, he didn't know who he was at the time. He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. So it's the Sabbath, and people are mingling in and around. It's actually, it's a Sabbath, and there was also a feast of the Jews. We read that in the first verse. So there's all kinds of people there. Jesus is mingling around there, and he encounters the guy again. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, see, you've been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And the man departed, the Bible says, told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. I love the idea of people wanting to be baptized. After all, baptism was commanded by Jesus in the Great Commission. Commanded, if you will, by Peter, Acts chapter 2, when the people cried out, what must we do to be saved? After Peter had spoke to them at long lengths about Jesus, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized. And so I love the idea of baptism. But I want to say a couple things before I come back to this story about baptism. And I said this earlier, I'm pretty sure I say this or some degree of this every year, but I believe it's just good to be reminded of what baptism is and what some of baptism is not. Casey referred to this just a little bit last week when he said, and I shall reiterate, baptism is an outward sign of an inward something that's happened in here. Are you with me, friends? Some of y'all look a little drowsy. Are you still with me? I would say it this way, and I've had conversation with a lot of people that want to be baptized today. They are showing to you their faith in Christ by being baptized. That's what's happening today. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward decision, of an inward work that's happened in here, in my heart, in my soul, in my spirit. Maybe it was recently, maybe it was some time ago. But baptism is to show us, I have got to that place of committing my life to Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. That's good news, by the way. Amen? The book of Acts, I mentioned, is full of those kind of examples. And when you look at the book of Acts and you see these examples, they were baptized when they came to Christ, when they realized who Jesus was and what they needed to do about that. That's when they were baptized. I love the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. I've referred to it before, both in church and at the river's edge. When the apostle is pouring out to him all about Jesus, and he realizes, now I've connected all these dots. Jesus is the one Isaiah talked about. Jesus is the one that died for my sin. Jesus is the Messiah. And he believed all that, and so he asked, what does hinder me now from being baptized? And so when we arrive at that point of recognizing Christ the Messiah, we show the rest of the world by being baptized. When you look at other scriptures, there's lots of other scriptures that talk about our faith in Christ. I think you mentioned, Casey, didn't you mention John 3:3? You must be born again last week. When we remember the story of Nicodemus, the religious guy who had all the credentials, all the titles, Jesus said, if you ever want to see the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be born again. And so we got all these examples of those kind of scriptures, John 3:3, John 3:16, we all know what that says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, that's the Son, that's a believing unto embracing him as Lord, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we've got these scriptures, like those and many more. Ephesians 2:8-9 says to us, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. In other words, I can't be baptized to be saved. It's the grace of God and my faith in the Son of God, and I get baptized to show you that. And so we've got all these verses that talk about our faith and what we need to do about that, and none of them mentions baptism. They talk about believing. They talk about embracing. They talk about confessing. They talk about being born again. And none of those, and many more, mention baptism. That is not to take away from the importance of baptism, but we must understand it is our turning to Christ by faith and not the water that saves us. Amen? For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. In other words, you can't get baptized enough. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so I want us to understand, and I know I reiterate this every year, I want us to understand, don't put your faith in the water. Our faith needs to be in Jesus. Water baptism is to show the rest of us, my faith is in Jesus. I have put my faith and trust in Jesus, and I'm committed to follow Jesus. Baptism is to show the rest of us that. Amen? Now back to the story. 38 years, this man had been infirmed to the point he was reduced to begging for his daily provision. His only existence would be by begging, and if somebody might give him something to make it through the day. This man that had been infirmed 38 years, I don't know how long he'd been by the pool, doesn't say that, just said he'd had this sickness 38 years. But he was unable completely to get from his bed to the pool, even if the water did get stirred. He was completely dependent on somebody else. I call this condition helpless and hopeless. Are you hearing me? He was helpless because he couldn't do anything on his own, and he had no hope. Only that someone might drop in a few crumbs that he might live on for the day, or only if somebody would pick him up and get him to the pool before somebody else beat him there. He was helpless and he was hopeless. And friends, that's how we all are until we come to Jesus. Helpless and eternally hopeless. You say, Jim, that's a little harsh. Friends, it is only through Jesus we have any hope. It is only through Jesus we have any hope. And so here's this man, 38 years he's infirmed. 38 years he has no hope. And that's how we are until we come to Christ. We are without hope. Oh, we might think we got a lot of hope because we got some degrees and we got some money and we got some knowledge. We've been to church a couple times. We might think we got all kinds of hope and all kinds of future. But without Jesus, we are helpless and we are hopeless. We all are. Until we answer the question, do you want to be made well? Until we wrestle with that and conclude, what am I going to do with that question? This man was helpless and hopeless, and that's how we all are. And along comes Jesus. And he asks him the question, he asks us the question, do you want to be made well? Humanly speaking, to this guy, it was an outrageous question. Because in human thinking, in his own thoughts, as he lay there on his bed year after year, there's no way. There's no way I'm ever going to be well. The question was outrageous. There would have been nothing in the world he would rather have than some wellness. 38 years. And Jesus asked him, do you want to be well? I choose this story for two reasons today. There's a number of people going to be baptized today. I praise God for all of you. I've been praying for you. Some of those people, there's going to be about 20, I think, unless there's a couple of cancellations, and maybe there'll be a couple surprises. I hope there are, actually. I hope people join us and say, today's the day. I need to show you of my faith. I'm going to be baptized. You say, Jim, well, I didn't bring any towel. I got a towel for you. You just come along. But anyway, there's going to be a few folks baptized today. And some of them are physically just fine. Some of them are very, very fit, as a matter of fact. And then there are some people that are going to be baptized today. They're not well physically. Stay with me. I'm not condemning anybody. Just stay with me. You see, their doctors, some of these that will be baptized today, their doctors have diagnosed them with cancer and liver failure and back problems and in wheelchairs. And so all is not well, physically speaking, for some that will be baptized today. But the good news, the reason they're coming to be baptized today and to show you this public declaration of baptism is because it is well with their soul. Amen? Physically, there may be challenges in some of them's lives, some of their lives. But they are coming to be baptized today because it is well right here. They can answer to the affirmative. I have the assurance that my sins are forgiven through Christ. It is well right here. Hallelujah. They may not be physically well, but because it is well in their soul, it will be eternally well with them. Eternally well with them. Now let me say this also. You can be in perfect health. You can be the fittest of all fit. You can be as rich as Bill Gates and Elon Musk. You can be the most popular person on the block or kid in the class. But if you've never turned to Jesus, it's not well yet with your soul. Are you hearing me this morning? We can have all the earthly stuff. I heard Elon Musk got richer this week, and I heard he's a quarter of the way now to being a trillionaire. That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't even know what $1 trillion looks like. Or a billion or a million. I'm lucky to know what $100 looks like. But it won't matter on that day if he is a trillionaire, if it's not well with his soul. And it won't matter if I'm Mr. Universe or I'm the most physically fit or whatever, if it's not well with my soul. It won't matter if I get straight A's. It won't matter if I've got the most popular role in the community. None of that will matter if it's not well in my soul. And it only gets well when we answer the question of Jesus that says, do you want to be made well? It only gets well when we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know you died for my sin. I know you came for me and the whole world. I trust you. I believe in you. I'm asking you, forgive my sin. I want you to be Lord of my life. Then we are well. Hallelujah. It's only when we do that that we're well. This is not a denomination thing. This is what Jesus said. This is what the Word says. And so, the two reasons I have chosen this scripture today is because at some point, every one of us has to wrestle with the question, do you want to be made well? Some of you will remember, I just took us through 5 weeks of, you don't get to go to heaven on your terms. Because we've heard the argument. I've heard of it. Some of you have heard of it. Well, I'm a pretty good person. That's wonderful. But is it well with your soul because you have surrendered your life completely to Jesus Christ? I can say I'm a Christian all day long, but God knows my heart. God knows if it's well right here. God knows if I've come to the cross and to Christ and said, forgive me, Lord Jesus, and thank you for dying for my sin. I need you as Savior. God knows if it's well with me or not. Our wellness, our being well, only comes through Jesus. Now listen to me again, friends, for a moment before I bring this all to close. Even when we're well in Jesus, even when we're well right here, hard things still happen. Hard things have happened in our community this last few days. Cancer diagnoses still happen. Death, and sometimes at a very young age, still happens. But if it is well with your soul, you will be eternally well with Jesus. Even when cancer happens, or liver failure, or kidney failure, or brain tumors. Are you hearing me today, friends? We get so caught up in the physical. Well, I'm sick. But is it well in your soul? Because if it's not well in your soul, then eternity is at stake. But if it's well in your soul and you get sick, I know that I have a home with Jesus someday. That's what he's talking about when he asks us, do you really want to be well? Yes, he was asking that guy if he wanted to be able to get up and walk. But when you read the scriptures, you get the invitation from Christ. Do you want to be well spiritually? And so I just want to say from experience, just because we come to Christ by faith and it's well in here doesn't mean we might not get sick or something might happen. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world you will have trouble. But then he said, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. If you're not sure, friends, it's well with your soul today and forever, then don't delay. Please make peace with God today before it's too late. And if you would like to join us and be baptized, you just come and tell us. We'll be glad to. Let's pray. Father, thank you through Jesus. We can say it is well with our soul. We can say it is well because he took upon himself our sin. The penalty that we should have bore, Jesus took it upon himself. He nailed it to the cross. I bear it no more. And we can say it is well. It is well with our soul. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sin, for being victorious over sin and the grave and death. Father, I would pray, if there's anyone here today that's not sure, if they're honest with you, they're honest with me, they would say, Jim, I'm not sure. Lord, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's well with my soul. Father, I pray by your Spirit, would you connect with their spirit? And they would just by faith receive Jesus as Lord. Jesus isn't a denomination. He isn't a religion. He's Master. He's Lord. He's Savior. He's Messiah. He is God. And I pray if someone's here today and they're not sure, have I been good enough? It's not about that. Have I gone to church enough? It's not even about that. Am I a church member? It's not even about that. Father, help them to know it's faith in Jesus Christ to experience your grace. And help them to do it today before it's too late. Bless the food that has been prepared. Bless it to our bodies, to continued fellowship. Grant us safety as we drive through town and arrive at the river's edge. May all that want to come and be part of that as participants or just observe, grant us a wonderful afternoon as we baptize people. We welcome them as part of the family. They have put their faith in Jesus. Thank you for everyone here, those that are going to be baptized, those that are just here to support them. Thank you for everyone here. Bless the food now. Bless this afternoon. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.